So this word meditation really covers a lot of territory. There's many traditions that use meditation as a primary practice. There's many, both religious, spiritual, and secular ways that it's used. Sometimes there's a mantra, a series of words or one word that someone repeats over time to help steady the mind. Sometimes meditation includes visualizations for healing or manifesting, all those different qualities. This class actually focuses on a different quality of meditation. As I mentioned, it's called mindfulness, also called insight meditation. We'll explore more about what insight means a little later on. But mindfulness as a word has certainly exploded in our culture. It's mindful. You can see mindfulness for this, mindfulness for that. It seems to solve so many problems. And certainly research has shown the benefits of it. But actually, mindfulness as a practice comes from the Buddhist tradition and actually is as old or older than 2,600 years. And just in our culture, it's become more and more prevalent because it has so many applications. And so as a teacher, I actually teach mostly from that Buddhist perspective, or what's called the Dharma perspective. But this class is not focused on that part of it. It's really focused on teaching you the skills of meditation. It's not about making you Buddhist or trying to convert you in any way. It's really the technique of meditation can use with whatever spiritual or religious tradition you prefer and resonate with, or whatever non-spiritual tradition you like. There's no expectation around that. So what is this mindfulness meditation? It's really this art of attention, of how do we cultivate and shape and focus our attention, where and how we focus that. It could be as simple as awareness, I see a bird and I know that I'm seeing a bird. So it's not just that where our attention is, it's also the awareness of what's being seen, the understanding of that. Again, that seems very simplistic, but so often as we go explore this class, that we see something and we actually are seeing not if the thing itself, but we're seeing our interpretation of it. Perhaps you notice with sound that your mind would hear something and say, okay, that's this kind of a sound. That's what this sound represents. And that's your mind's, it's a helpful tendency, a helpful capacity to hear and to label. This is what it is. It fixes it in our whole experience and our history. We know what to do with it, what not to do with it. But that's a layering. It's something that's a little abstract from the actual sound itself. And sometimes you may notice that the label you put on the sound isn't the thing itself. And the label itself carries all your reaction, all your longing, all your wanting with it. Well, that piece we'll explore more and more as the class goes on. So this quality of paying attention. Now, if you think about for a second, when do we usually pay attention? And when is our attention naturally given? It's often when something is interesting to us. It could be something that we find attractive or engaging, delightful, and we just want to see more of it. Our attention just lands on that. We can also be very interested in something that's just distressing or scary or dangerous. Our attention is right there. How divided is your attention when you're walking across an icy road this last week, if you're in the Seattle area? You're seeing a truck skidding, there's a sense of you're fully attentive and present. But so often our attention is very random and it's very easily distracted. We see something we're excited about and then we see another thing and we're just kind of going back and forth, very scattered. It's a bit like when I take my dog for a walk and I want him to come and he's off leash and he's going to smell this or smell that. And he just goes wherever his nose takes him. So learning our attention is often so much like that, just going from one interesting thing to another thing. So part of mindfulness training and practice is learning how to study that attention, how to bring that quality of sustainedness, a quality of what's called concentration or samadhi, so we can keep that attention more or less steady. Now you noticed in the meditation how often your mind would be distracted, that you'd be, okay, I'm hearing that sound, and suddenly you're thinking about last Tuesday or next Wednesday, and your mind just shifts so quickly. That's the distractedness. But when you're able to recognize that and wake up to the fact that you're distracted, coming back to the sound, to the breath, that actually strengthens the mindfulness. And if you can do that with as little tension as possible, you know, things will start to unfold much quicker. If you come back with a lot of self-judgment, it just creates a level of knot and tension in the whole practice. So learning how to steady your attention. Meditation is sometimes called learning how to focus or to pay attention on purpose. I want to use John Kabat-Zinn's definition of mindfulness to kind of walk through this. John Kabat-Zinn is a physician who sometimes is accredited for creating mindfulness, but he would not say that. He was a Zen practitioner, and he was working in a medical environment. I think it was a hospital, and noticing people with a lot of chronic pain were just struggling a lot. And he had a Zen practice, a Zen meditation practice. So he wanted to find a way to bring meditation to those people in a way that was, you know, not religious or not spiritual, but really how to use the techniques of it. So he's really been a huge benefit to mindfulness in our culture. And, you know, he's, you know, really tapping into this much longer and older tradition, the Buddhist tradition. But John Kabat-Zinn's definition is mindfulness is awareness that arises through paying attention. Okay, so it's awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. Mindfulness is awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. And he says, I sometimes add, in the service of self-understanding and wisdom. Okay, so I'm going to pull out three sections from that little quote from John Kabat-Zinn's definition that come together around mindfulness. So first is this paying attention on purpose. Paying attention on purpose. Now, usually we don't have much choice of where our attention goes. I mean, that seems like that's not a true statement, because, yeah, of course I can focus on something, but I'm curious, how many of you were able just to focus on your sound 100% during that 20 minutes? You know, how your attention went all over the place. And sometimes it's a little surprising that we think, oh, yeah, I'm kind of in control of what my mind does. They say, oh, just focus on the sound for 20 minutes or on the breath. And you start to see how little control your attention really is. It's like my dog that's just trained to go wherever he wants, whatever is most interesting to his little nose. You know, so that's seeing in itself. Try to reinterpret that not as a problem to solve, but more as something to understand. It's like, oh, wow, my attention is kind of all over the place. The more you can do this, every time you have a problem arise, I try to reframe it in that way. Like, oh, that's great that you saw that. It's great that you noticed that. When we make it a problem, then we're kind of in opposition to it. So the sense of like, oh, isn't that great that you noticed it, is allowing you to step into this quality of mindfulness that's really the observation, the paying attention, the knowing. That clear knowing is what transforms us. More on that in a bit later here. So we learn how to become less distracted through our practice. So I want to use a little analogy or metaphor for our attention. So imagine a flashlight. If I was in the room with you, I'd hold a flashlight and I can say, okay, here's our attention. I shine it on this object and I shine on this object. And I'd say, okay, usually our attention is just kind of going all over the place. We focus on something for a few seconds and we shift to something else. I mean, just think of your time with your devices, you know, how quickly our attention is drawn one direction or not. We're kind of really trained to do that by social media and our cell phones, our smartphones, you know, our internet. That's something that, you know, advertisers know. So learning how to focus on one particular thing is this is one of the first tasks that we learn as meditators. And when we focus on something, we're able to actually illuminate it, to see it more clearly, to see what it actually is. Okay, that's an important piece, to actually see how things actually are, not how we think they are, to make contact with it. So our attention is the flashlight. And the knowing of what's seen is that quality of mindfulness, of awareness. And there's going to be a couple of qualities that we'll add to that in a second. Now, mindfulness can have this spectrum of quality to it. So just like a flashlight could, or light itself. So I might focus like a pinpoint, like I have a flashlight that can be very broad in its beam, or it can focus down in almost a pinpoint. Okay, so we can pinpoint on one thing, like a magnifying glass taking the rays of the sun and pinpointing it, you know, so it can start a fire, or, you know, start to smoke a piece of wood or something. So there's that focusing quality is one side of the spectrum. So sometimes that's very helpful to be able to focus in and a pinpoint on something. We have to watch how much tension we arise with that, how much effort, because that's often the downside, is we can get too caught up in trying to make our attention so tight and narrow. Now, the other side of the spectrum is more, again, it's light, but if like the light in your room right now simply illuminates everything. You know, it might be, you know, closer to some things, it's a little brighter here, but my room right now, I can see everything by just the few lights I have on. That's another quality of awareness or mindfulness. They can open up to just seeing the whole of things. So it can narrow down to just focusing on just a little something, or just seeing everything at once. So these two ends of the spectrum are something we'll play with as we go through the class. And in general, we'll move more and more toward that broader field as the class gets near its end. But we'll always be able to go back to that narrow focus when it's needed. And there's reasons to do both. We'll explore as we go along. And light, the sense of using a flashlight, it's really an analogy or placeholder for any of our senses. So we used hearing in the meditation, that I can use hearing in a very pinpointed way, just hearing that one little sound, or I can open to the broadness of just allowing whatever arises to be sensed, to be received. And same thing with sensations. In the next week or so, we'll focus on body sensations. And you can see how your mindfulness, you can focus just like a flashlight, just on like the tip of one pinky, or feeling the whole of my hand, or the whole of my body. And so we learn to kind of go in and out. And again, there's reasons to do one versus the other, and we'll start to understand that and learn that for ourselves. Now, it's not just the focusing of attention, which is all of mindfulness. There's also this second point that John Kabat-Zinn pointed toward, is the non-judgmental quality of awareness. So again, mindfulness is awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment. Non-judgmentally. Okay, non-judgmentally. So we'll explore this more next week. But reflect for a second, what happens when your attention is judgmental? There's often a quality of tension, a quality of agenda. I want things to go a certain way. There's a quality of control that flows out of that, and the tension if we can't control. Think of meditation and mindfulness as listening well, learning to listen very deeply without any preconceptions, without any agenda. So imagine for a moment that you're having a conversation with a dear friend. Now, if you know this friend isn't judging you, is completely accepting who you are, what your experience is, what you're going through, they just really want to hear you. They really want to understand you. Notice how you can relax to that. You can let yourself share yourself very fully and very deeply, even things which are sensitive and charged, because you know this person just hearing you. There's a quality of safety in that. On the other hand, if you're talking and you know the person kind of judges you for whatever you're talking about, there's there's a tension that builds up. There's that you don't want to reveal everything. You're always kind of evaluating how they're receiving you. So this is the quality that we're learning in this non-judgmental part, is learning to do that for ourselves, to listen deeply to ourselves without a preconception of how we think we should be or shouldn't be. That being said, of course, those preconceptions will pop up. You'll be often very quickly be confronted with how judgmental your mind is. But the more you practice, you start to not believe in that so much. You start to soften it. You start to, so there's just the judgment. What's underneath the judgment is the direct experience of that. And this is why we will explore compassion as these weeks go on together. And the quality of tension is related to this. You know, how much tension is present while we're meditating? Because we want to have a relaxed and receptive attention. Because we can have a lot of attention focused if we're a mouse trying to, or not a mouse, well, it can be a mouse watching out for the cat, or the cat staying by the mouse hole. There's just a lot of tension. Or if we're robbing a house or doing something we don't want to be caught, or whatever it might be, there's a lot of attention there. But there's also a lot of tension. We're very present, but we're also very tense in the midst of that. So this comes into this quality of this relaxed attention, this allowing it to be just how it is. And this comes to, why do we practice meditation? Why do we practice mindfulness? This is the why is also important. And this is the last part that Kabat-Zinn added, is that sometimes I add, in the service of self-understanding and wisdom. So mindfulness is awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. And then I sometimes add, in the service of self-understanding and wisdom. Now we'll again talk more and more about this over the coming weeks. But learning to see clearly, to really perceive how things are, that actually grows wisdom. That actually grows self-understanding in a profound way. Because if we're not able to fully be honest with ourselves and fully meet what's actually here, there's only so much our wisdom can grow. And that's why this practice is also a wisdom practice. It's really teaching the ability to see clearly. And so often people bring up particular issues in their life and struggles, and always my response is to say, okay, how can you see it more and more clearly? Because in that clear seeing, then your right response comes from that. Seeing things how they actually are. So mindfulness practice, this is what we'll be exploring. You know, it has these three elements of learning to choose our attention, choose to focus on one thing or many things. And we'll go through a wide range during this class, the breath, the sound, body, emotions, thoughts. And even as one person said earlier on, Carlito, the quality of choiceless awareness, we're just seeing everything at once. So our attention will narrow down like a flashlight focusing on a particular aspect or a sensation in our body, to opening up to just seeing everything arising as they will. And we'll gently go into that as these weeks unfold.